Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Should GLP-1 weight loss medication like Wegovy and Zepbound cost thousands of dollars? We don't think so. Try LifeMD.com helps provide insurance access to the leading GLP-1 medications. Visit TryLifeMD.com and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0. Listen to Bridget's story after losing 55 pounds and using her insurance for coverage.
LifeMD helped me get covered with my insurance. Finding out that it was covered was huge. I've lost 55 pounds. I am so much healthier now that I've lost the weight. I would never be able to do it without them.
Get started today and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0 at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
To have a senator from Maryland who didn't even acknowledge or barely acknowledge my daughter and the brutal death that she endured, leaving her 5 children without a mother, and now a grandbaby without a grandmother, so that he can use my taxpayer money to fly to El Salvador to bring back someone that's not even an American citizen. Why does that person have more right than I do, or my daughter, or my grandchildren? I don't understand this.
Well, I don't really think anybody understands it. The idea, or I don't know what the Democrats are thinking by doing this, by having Chris Van Hollen go there. And of course, if you get the newsletter at all, I included in the newsletter that the senator who went to go visit Mr. Chris Van Hollen, he was, I know you guys are shocked, he was denied the meeting. He didn't get a meeting with El Salvador's president. And I wonder why that is. Oh, maybe it's because he's not the president of the United States. And Bukele was already in the United States. And by the way, that's the point at which Chris Van Hollen could have tried to meet with him. I don't know why that didn't happen, but okay. All of this is such performative garbage. With what the Democrats are doing. And I think it was actually a master stroke, if I'm being honest, from the administration to not only the day that Chris Van Hollen goes to El Salvador to try to, I don't know what he thinks he's going to conduct a prison break. I'm still trying to understand that one. Seriously, is that what he thought he was doing? Does anybody want to clue me in on that? Did he think he was going to break him out of prison? It was going to be like a,
he articulated that he wanted to meet him and meet with him. And the VP was like, nah, bro.
For what? So why did you enter the country illegally? Let's talk about that. Meet him for what? So stupid. So Chris Van Hollen going to El Salvador denied the meeting. He didn't get the meeting with the president, which that's, you know, not surprising. And then, of course, on the same day, that's when the Department of Justice dropped all the documents, which I thought was pretty genius. They dropped all the documents for this Garcia, this MS-13 gang member. And then they had this press conference with Rachel Morin's mother. And I'm sure that, I mean, they didn't see it coming. They didn't see that happening. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash with you. We're at the top of this first hour. We got a lot to hit today as we get you wrapped up. I'm going to be off air tomorrow. You know, everybody's home for Easter, so I'd like to see my family a little bit, and that's what we're going to do, but I'll be back on air with you on Monday. So this story, this really blew up supremely in the left's face, this story. Audio soundbite 7. This is Senator Van Hollen. This is after the VP of El Salvador told him that if he was going to go and visit this dude in the prison, he needed to arrange it through the Trump administration. Listen to this.
He said he couldn't promise that either. So I asked him if I could get on the phone, either a video phone or just a phone, and talk to Mr. Abrego Garcia.
He's having a little
press. So I could just ask him how he's doing so I could report back to his family.
They're translating his answers.
He said he could not arrange that.
Yeah, he can't arrange it. You should have, you know, go through the administration. That's what he was told. Good. I mean, go through the administration. That's who you need to go talk to about all this. I mean, there's more that's coming out about this guy, and I want to share this with you. So first and foremost, yesterday it came out that he had repeatedly beat his wife. You remember the wife that he loved so much, guys? He loved his lady so much, he didn't make her an honest woman until after he knocked her up and she had his kid. And that one, you know, like until after he knocked her up. And then he's like, I guess I had to marry her. He didn't decide to marry her until after his asylum claim was denied. Let's get something really clear about this Abrego Garcia guy. Again, as you know, it was established he is an El Salvadoran. He's not a Marylander. He was born and raised and lived in El Salvador. He came to the United States illegally, met a woman, slept with her, and then he started going through the process because he kept getting detained for traffic offenses, etc. Finally, they determined he had to be deported, and then he tried to fight it every which way. Oh, but I got a wife here. Look, I'm getting married. I got a kid that I'm gonna have. I got a lady here I'm gonna marry. And then he tried to say, oh, but I got a gang back in El Salvador that's harassing my mom. Except the gang had already been like destroyed. And wasn't his mom dead? Like all kinds of stuff, like crazy stuff that he like was just totally making up. His asylum claim was denied. That's when he married the woman and was like, oh, well, my wife is here. That's not fair. They didn't care. You had three different judges that did not care. They did not buy it. There was no evidence presented to support his asylum claim. But what's more, all of the evidence confirmed that he was a legit. I mean, they don't carry cards, but he might as well have been a card carrying member of MS-13. So he was always going to be deported. The question was when. It was not if, it was when. And progressives are all ticked off because he was deported too early. Oh, and they shouldn't have put him back in El Salvador because, you know, that gang was trying to kill him, except that was already moot because it was determined that gang wasn't even in operation because Bukele had already destroyed it. So that's why his asylum claim was denied, because there was no threat to his life. Do you see how this works? And the left is still mad about it. So then he gets deported to a prison and people are saying, well, he's not technically home. He's home. He's in prison. He's with all the other gang members. This guy apparently also, as I said, his wife had taken out, he repeatedly beat her and she took out a protective order against him. I don't know if you guys, if you get my newsletter, you got this. If you're a subscriber over at Substack Chapter and Verse, you have this. He beat her and she had applied for and petitioned for a protective order against him. And he frequently beat her. She was terrified. It doesn't sound like it was a real willing relationship, if I'm being honest, and I have more on that. Jennifer Vasquez, his wife, testified he beat her so many times she couldn't even remember. He was incredibly violent, and he blacked her eye, hit her in the face. He would beat her with his work boots. You know, loving husband, American citizen. Yeah, just a candidate for American citizenship right here. He would beat her with his work boots. He would scream at her. He would scare her and act like he was going to kill her while driving their car. He beat her at a gas station, punched his wife, scratched her face, left huge marks on the side of her face. She was bleeding. He was incredibly violent. At one point, when she was holding their baby, he started punching her in the face while she was holding their baby. You know, just great, great law-abiding dad, right? Great law-abiding dad. When he was pulled over repeatedly, by the way, with his previous traffic offenses, actually, when he was apprehended this last time, he had tons of cash on him and he was rolling with two MS-13 members. Oh, but they don't want to tell you that because he's this helpless Maryland dad. What? Oh, my gosh. Oh, but wait, there's more. You know, now he's being accused of being involved in human trafficking. What? Oh, no, not this Maryland dad. Apparently, you know, the same guy that the Biden DOJ and the FBI, they wanted to release and deport him. He was detained in 2022 because they suspected him of human trafficking. And it wasn't the first time either. What? He was rolling with some MS-13 members, this innocent Maryland dad. What? Yeah, that's absolutely it. That's the Tennessee Star. It was a 2-hour traffic stop And this was one of the many vehicle offenses. He didn't have a driver's license. He had no identifying documents. And apparently, they said that they were checking because he had people apparently in his vehicle that may have been on the terrorist watch list. Oh, it goes on and on and on because they were gang members. They were all MS-13. He was rolling with MS-13. And they were curious, and they said that there were 8 people in the vehicle, that there was, and this was, I think it was in, yeah, it was in Tennessee is when they had stopped him, from what I believe. And they said that the circumstances of the stop made the officers on the scene very concerned that Abrego Garcia was engaged in human trafficking. But the FBI demanded, per order of Biden's DOJ, the FBI demanded that they be released anyway. So police couldn't even continue gathering any evidence or anything like that. They had to release them anyway. They couldn't keep them in custody anymore. Yeah, that's like, there is tons of stuff here. And this, and he's been here for years. Been here for years. These are the people. You'll have somebody like Chris Van Hollen that will go all the way to El Salvador. He couldn't be bothered to visit Rachel Morin's mother. He couldn't be bothered to visit the Nungaray family. He couldn't be bothered to visit, any Jamil Shaw Sr. He couldn't be bothered to visit any of these people. No. But he's going to go down to El Salvador and, tickle the jimmies of the guy who's being held in prison down there. This is just asinine. I mean, you're a real rat bastard. If your concern is for this criminal, illegal, alien, wife beating, drug dealing, MS-13 verified MS-13 member. And I want to make something really clear for all the people that are screaming about due process. We're going to have 2 discussions here. First off, this dude had his due process. This dude got more due process than than Americans get under red flag laws. This guy got more due process than most people get with the IRS. This guy got more due process than J6ers got. Hell, this guy got more due process than damn Donald Trump. And you're going to sit here and act like this guy didn't get due process because he was deported early? Cry me a river, you absolute walking female copulatory organs. He was always going to be deported to El Salvador. It was always a question of when, not if. Oh my gosh, they sent back this woman-beating, deadbeat gangbanger too early? Wah, cry me a flipping river. I don't care. In fact, you beat a woman, I'm going to put a bullet in your head. That's my sense of justice. I think that if you're a wife beater and you're beating the mother of your child while she's holding your child, I don't know. I come from the country. We got ways of dealing with stuff like that. I'm just saying. So he better be thanking the good Lord above that all he did was just get a talking to. And then he got sent to a prison a little earlier than he was going to be deported. You got to be kidding me. But for all the people screaming about due process, he had due process multiple times. All the different court cases, all of the different adjudications where they determined that he was so dangerous, they couldn't even release him to public, that they couldn't even guarantee the public safety because he was dangerous and he couldn't prove that he wasn't. Because he couldn't prove that he wasn't MS-13 because they found all this identifying evidence that he was MS-13. All the people yelling about due process seem to overlook that. And spare me the argument that this is the same. Well, we got to follow due process. You know, like John Adams and the British Redcoats, people who don't understand history. That is a horrible, horrible, horrible equivocation. I'm going to explain why coming up. We're going to get into all of that. We're also going to get into Hope, Florida, the Florida scandal that isn't in our red state rhino hunting series. I have zero problem, make my day, in using lethal force to neutralize a threat presenting itself to me or my loved ones. But I also realize, due to some of my friends living in very weird areas like D.C. and New York, they're big kids, they got to live there for work, they have the very difficult to obtain license to carry in those states, but they're not able to actually carry everywhere. And you know that these cities have got some high crime rates in New York and D.C. So what they did, because, you know, municipal restrictions and private property restrictions, they didn't want to be left defenseless. So they went out and got a Byrna gun. Specifically, they got the Byrna SD, BYRNA. The Byrna gun, the Byrna SD, it's like, if you have if you have tasers, tasers have, maybe 1 or 2 rounds. The Byrna SD is 5 round capacity. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away, giving you a chance. There's no recoil. It's super easy to deploy. And It doesn't care about gun-free zone signs. It doesn't care about your municipal restrictions or your private property restrictions. It's legal in all 50 states, no background checks, and you can have it sent right to your front porch. It's a great way to diversify your weapons array. I mean, you have blades, right? You have rifles and pistols. You have different calibers. There's no reason why you shouldn't incorporate something like this and have a diversified array for self-defense, right? You never know what situation you're going to find yourself in. It's a great time to reevaluate your options, and you can do that over at Byrna.com/Dana. B-Y-R-N-A. It's the Byrna SD, the most popular model. Byrna.com/Dana. That is where you can get 10% off your purchase.
Democrats now insist they have a huge momentum shift after those special elections turned out pretty much like we thought they would. President Trump has the audacity to claim he should be able to decide who works for him. And Trump makes the media look like Wile E. Coyote again over comments about a third term. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the Three Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you like true crime, you'll love the Miracle Files podcast. We share real stories with the suspense of true crime, but we'll leave you with a sense of light and hope. Like the college wrestler who fought a grizzly, the woman who was dead for nearly an hour, or the child lost in a dark mine for days. These are the kind of stories that remind us miracles are real.
Subscribe to The Miracle Files wherever you get your podcasts and join us on this thrilling journey of faith and miracles.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So here's a story, Wall Street Journal, how a Supreme Court ruling could weaken Fed independence. Yay! We don't need a centralized independent bank. We don't need anything like that. Good heavens. Why are they obsessed with putting... Oh, because it's easier to control you. That's why. Television could go the way of newspapers if the economy tips into a recession. I think this is kind of interesting. I don't hardly ever watch the television unless it's like news. And even then, that's kind of rare. I just don't. I don't ever watch just basic cable. I don't watch anything that has commercials in it. I feel like, no, you know what? No, I'm not going to watch it. So people are saying that recession, that media and internet companies, they could face a multi-billion dollar hit to ad spending. Well, yeah, because that's the any time that you have economic instability, the first thing, it's not just TV, it's podcasting, it's radio, it's periodicals, magazines, anything like that. Even stuff on Facebook and X, you are going to see a plunge in ad revenue because that is the first thing that companies cut when they're trying to control costs. So it's not just TV. However, the weird situation that TV is in is going to more adversely affect television programming and TV broadcasting than really anything else. It'll also impact radio as well. So that's why it's very important to support our sponsors. But does anybody watch TV? Is it going to be the death knell for TV? I feel like there's like people out there who are going to watch it anyway. I don't know. More Americans believe in God, but not religion, which is actually anti-New Testament. Just so you know, everyone's like, oh, yes, I believe in God and I like church, but I just don't like organized religion. Well, you're actually called to go and fellowship with other believers for a very specific reason. Paul highlights this repeatedly in the New Testament, but I digress. So, yes, if you are coming to faith, yes, you should definitely find a church. And look, no church is perfect, but you're not there to be served. You are there to serve. So adjust your perspective. Apple tells iPhone users to update their devices now after a very extremely sophisticated attack. Golly, it's just going to get more and more, isn't there? More opportunities for hacking. They said it was actually used against specific targeted individuals, but they didn't say anything else. So they're saying download the security patch that fixes the flaw. By the way, here's another U2 album. I kid, they're not going to do that. A Republican bill is aiming to disarm the IRS. Hallelujah. Yes. This is something from Clay Higgins out of Louisiana, Barry Moore out of Alabama, Harriet Hagman out of Wyoming, and Mary Miller out of Illinois. They want to strip the IRS of its guns and ammo, and it's called simply, Why Does the IRS Need Guns Act? Brilliant. Stick with us because we're going to correct the logic on this Abrego Garcia due process thing. Your body is a powerhouse. It heals, it builds, it keeps you moving. But as you age, those natural processes slow down. And that's where Ancient Nutrition's collagen comes in. It's like backup power for your body. It helps you stay strong, radiant, and ready for anything. Ancient Nutrition blends ancient wisdom with modern science to create high-quality supplements. And their multi-collagen advanced lean features 10 types of collagen from real food-based sources. It's powered by clinically studied ingredients that support fat loss, healthy weight management, and lean muscle building. You'll love it because it can reduce your joint discomfort, boost your skin, your hair, and nails, and plus, you'll love how it tastes and how easily it fits into your daily routine. Collagen is real and it works, and Ancient Nutrition's multi-collagen advanced lean has you covered. Look and feel your best starting today. Right now, Ancient Nutrition is offering you 25% off your first order. Just visit ancientnutrition.com/Dana, promo code Dana. That's ancientnutrition.com/Dana, code Dana for 25% off your first order.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
32 days ago, the Trump administration deported Kilmer Armando Abrego Garcia.
He can't say his name fast because he's coast on the pronunciation.
That an immigration judge promised not to send him to. El Salvador. A Marylander, a union worker, a husband, a father, was placed in handcuffs in front of his son and forced onto a plane bound for
notorious
terrorism.
Okay, you know what's worse than getting placed in handcuffs in front of your son? Beating the hell out of the son's mother while she's holding him. You absolute thug. Are you serious with this right now? All these people need to be slapped. I have zero patience for this BS. God help me. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. This absolute walking mental abortion. Sitting here going, can you believe that they placed handcuffs on precious baby infant holier than Jesus, Abrego Garcia? Oh my gosh, gang. Can you believe it? The lamb. Oh, Jiminy Christmas. It's so bad they placed cuffs on him in front of his kid, which is probably a lot better than when the mom was holding the baby and he was trying to crunch her face bones in with his knuckles. Why do Democrats fetishize like men who beat women? They love it. Does it get them off? Seriously, all you people, Democrats, you need to ask yourselves, look in the little black part of your heart and find out what really motivates you to worship to an inappropriate degree. Violent women-beating gangbangers. Why do you love them more than you love people like Jocelyn Nungaray, American citizens, children, Rachel Morin, Jamil Shaw Jr.? Why do you love these gangbangers more than you love the innocent children and women and men that they target? Blows the mind. Yeah, He was beating her so hard, he was actually hurting his son, according to police records. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He had pinned her, according to her testimony. Because Democrats, do we believe all women or not? Oh, wait, we don't really care about her, right? Is it because she's Hispanic American that you don't care about her? That you don't care about Velasquez, his wife? That he only married because he was trying to do a last bid ditch to stay in the country. He didn't really care about her. Knocked her up and he was going to leave. He wasn't spending no time with this woman. You think he's taking care of that baby? Like hell, acting like he's some kind of proud father. He's a deadbeat. Of course, this is the same party that thinks Joe Biden's a good dad. This is the same party that defended infant baby, almost 60-year-old Hunter Biden. So, of course, they can't see that Abrego Garcia is a nearly murderous, violent gangbanger who beat his wife within an inch of her life while she was holding the baby. Like, the baby was screaming because he had her pinned against the wall, according to her testimony, that he was putting pressure on the baby. So, where is Van Hollen and Wes Moore and all these rat bastard domestic violence defenders? You know, the people that think you shouldn't have guns because, oh, women, you're too weak to be able to handle a gun and defend yourself. Oh, but this guy's a stand-up dude. Asinine. No, they are all out for this guy. They love him. It's like they're all his mistress. I've never seen it before. He was an acknowledged member, a verified member, a documented member of MS-13. And he documented, proven, beat his wife in front of their baby while she was holding the baby. Oh, but he got put in handcuffs, Kane, in front of the baby. It's okay if he beats the baby's mom while she's holding the baby and endangers the life of the baby. That's okay. But heaven forbid you put him in handcuffs. Boy, I hope he gets some real good boyfriends in prison. He should. I hope that they run out of lotion, too. That being said, I don't know. Like, they, I guess that they think that, what do they think that that Abrego Garcia should get? I don't know. They keep screaming about due process. Here's the facts of the matter. The numerous court rulings to this were, they were the ones who established the verification that he was in MS-13. They were the ones who established the verification that not only was he MS-13, his previous offenses, that his he had no real claim to asylum. They did all of this. They did all of it. He was never a legal resident of the United States. He was always trying to find way. He kept defending. That's why he kept running afoul of the cops. Do people not realize this? That is why he kept coming to police attention, because he kept reoffending. I mean, he's this idea that he should be kept here for what? He tried to seek asylum. He was denied. And the only reason why he was still here is because he had a temporary, and I'm going to say it again for effect, temporary withholding of removal status. Because it was an activist judge under the Biden administration, and they wanted to investigate whether or not he'd be targeted by rival gangs. Well, they found that there was no, the gang that he originally cited as being the gang that was after him was no longer in existence and hadn't been for a couple of years before he filed an asylum claim. Furthermore, guess what? If you're an MS-13, do you know, Kane, this is shocking to people that, you know, only live in Lululemon and Starbucks. It's really shocking to them. Do you know that there are other gangs out there besides MS-13? Yeah. And that some of those gangs don't like MS-13? Yeah. And that if you're a verified, documented, rolling with the homies member of MS-13, that you're probably going to run afoul of gangs that don't like MS-13 and are not going to like you because you are in the gang MS-13?
That's the way it works.
So wait, are we going to be a beacon for all gangbangers who want to gangbang, but then they don't want to face the repercussions from rival gangs? And they want to come and we're supposed to protect them from all the gang violence in third world countries. Is that what we're supposed to do?
God, I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think so. So that's he was going to be sent back. But the question was timing. And that's the weird area that DOJ, for some reason, found themselves in. He had gotten due process repeatedly. Now, there are some instances where there's all of these arguments that I see from people. Oh, well, he didn't get due process. We should be upholding that. First off, do not sit here and apply stupidly the John Adams red coat thing to me or to this argument. Let me explain. John Adams, in the early days of the before the War of Independence, during the Revolution, which is all the area that predates the actual armed conflict War of Independence, the Redcoats, everybody knows, Boston Massacre, everybody knows, Redcoats were there. There was a lot of stuff leading up to it, including a Redcoat that somebody who had helped the Redcoats that was complaining in a tavern where you had Crispus Attucks and several other patriots. They were having their brewskis. They overheard somebody complaining about work. They ended up getting into an argument, spills out into the square. You got the Redcoats that show up. They were, according to witnesses, the colonists were taunting the Redcoats. The Redcoats were yelling back. And then, long story short, somebody in a Redcoat fired, and Crispus Attucks was the first person killed in the American War of Independence. A free black American, by the way. Want to point that out. So John Adams was tasked with defending the Redcoats. And it wasn't something he was forced to do. He did it voluntarily because he realized something incredibly important, that in order to establish the United States, this was a real test here. Fate was baiting this very, very young fledgling republic into making a horrendous mistake to disregard its own rules to justify itself, only then to hold them up as, you know, a mantle later. And John Adams knew that the strength of the republic depended on what happened with these Redcoats. So he volunteered to defend them. He was a young man. He had a young wife. He was expecting another child. His first child was already a baby. He, absolute like terrifying time for him to do this when he's at the precipice of so much and he could ruin his name. But he did so so brilliantly, and he understood that due process must be upheld, and it's going to be upheld, and we're going to have a fair trial. And at the end of the day, what they found out, he ended up getting some acquittals for some of these guys. I think one had a reduced penalty. But as it turned out, and he was exactly right, no one could fault him. And his complete devotion to logic and fact saved this nation. It was a complete selfless service. To sit here and say that Abrego Garcia, a willing participant in felonious criminal activity, who already illegally entered the nation, who beats women, who apparently traffics humans, who dealt drugs, who was with MS-13, to say that he is in any way similar to what happened with John Adams, or that that due process must be upheld and it's the same situation here, is one of the most stupid things I have ever had the misfortune of hearing. And it has killed my brain cells without the benefit of having a good drink to do it. I think people should be penalized for being stupid. That's me. Here's why it's not like that. Because Abrego Garcia wasn't here legally. See, at the time during the Boston Massacre, you had the Redcoats, and the Redcoats were, you know, kind of assuming, I mean, they were here. We were at that point, we were kind of under the monarchy. We were kind of under King George, and they were here, and it was very tense, but they weren't here illegally. Furthermore, they actually ended up, according to John Adams' argument, the colonists were had basically started it, long story short. And the shot was accidentally fired, apparently not something that was a command that was given by the senior officer that was there at the time. And they got due process. They got their due process. And John Adams believed that because technically they're here in this nation, or they're here in the colonies, they're going to get due process. Abrego Garcia got due process. What people are arguing with this case is that somebody like Abrego Garcia should receive a special protected status because they entered illegally, and that immediately makes them holier than you. In addition to that, they think because not only did he, because he entered illegally, and he's Hispanic who entered illegally, that doubles his holiness. That's why his wife, who is also Hispanic, she's not really considered as special. No one gives a rat's ass about the beatings and violence that she suffered because she's already here in the United States. So she's not as special as Abrego Garcia, who came here illegally. Remember, that checks an intersectional box, Kane. So that makes him specialer. It's asinine. It's so asinine. It's not the same thing. He got due process. It was a question of timing. To compare it to, you know, and act like that we're going to destroy hundreds of years of legal casework, or that we're going to somehow undermine the Constitution because we're not allowing people who are criminals to come in the country and live here illegally. That it's the same. This is asinine. It's drunk girl math. What in the hell? Now, I have we got a number of things to talk about, including coming up. Always in our second hour, we're going to be continuing the red state rhino hunting. And we're going to talk to you about, and we're focusing with a particular focus on Texas and Florida because they're so big and we're not going to ever win White Houses without them. But we're going to look at other states as well. In Florida, we're going to look at the story of Hope Florida, which is a great charitable organization that rhinos are livid at, because they think that Hope Florida shouldn't exist because it'll somehow mean more money for them. I'm not exaggerating. So we're going to dive into that coming up. We're also going to talk about some of this other stuff, including, did you know, remember when the left always said, we're not here to take your guns? Well, new documentation comes out that, yeah, absolutely, they wanted to take everybody's guns under the Biden administration. We're going to talk about all of that and more. If you work long hours and struggle to wind down at night, you're not alone. Tossing and turning and waking up exhausted doesn't have to be the norm. Beam Dream Powder helps you fall asleep faster, sleep soundly through the night, and wake up feeling refreshed. Beam Dream Powder is a clean, healthy nighttime blend made with ingredients backed by science. Reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin. Apigenin helps calm your body and your mind for rest. L-theanine supports a smooth transition into deep sleep. And reishi and melatonin work to improve REM sleep quality. Beam is proudly American-made and run by people who value hard work, integrity, and results. Supporting companies like this matters because they're doing things the right way. You'll love how Dream tastes, and it's easy to make and actually effective. Over 17.5 million nights of sleep have been improved with Beam, and yours could be next. Try it for yourself. Visit shopbeam.com. shopbeam.com/Dana Show and use code Dana Show for 40% off of your first order. That's shopbeam.com/Dana Show, code Dana Show for better sleep.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And we also demand the return of Kilmar Abrego Garcia in El Salvador. And we tell President Bukele, if we believe in democracy, he must be returned. It is criminal that he is being held abroad. And we demand these things because we do have power in this moment. All of us do. Everyday people do.
I mean, we're still having this conversation. They don't care what the facts are. They just don't care. They don't care that this guy is a criminal. And guys, they're getting a lot of help from the media on this.
Yeah, they are. Well, they always do.
No, I know, but it's absolutely to the point where it's all the headlines on this are dominated by it. Here's an actual, this is one of the headlines I saw. Photos at El Salvador prison evoke Abu Ghraib. I didn't feel bad about the Abu Ghraib thing either. You're a terrorist caught being a terrorist. That's kind of the consequence, right? I don't want to know what our soldiers do. I trust our men and women in uniform. Y'all handle that business however you see fit. I don't need to know. Just, you know, go out, break stuff and kill people. That's all. And win. Accomplish the objective. Real simple. No, I'm not kidding you. That's one of the headlines. Is that, oh, it's just like Abu Ghraib. You see what they're trying to do here. They are not giving up on this. Guys, this is like the top thing trending. I had to turn off my alerts. I always have, although I don't really use Google hardly at all anymore because it's just garbage. You can use AI, but I am so crazy about not trusting stuff unless I like go through the fine print myself. I still will double check something if I ask AI a question. I've done it as an experiment. The problem is that a lot of these search engines are so weighted to the left that it makes actual, genuine research impossible. I was hearing from one of my kids in college who was saying that, he either had to use Reddit or he had to use AI because AI was able to at least get some links that he could read to verify stuff and around like Google's algorithm. How crazy is that? That you actually have to fight for good info. Anyway, This is what's dominating, which was why it was so genius how the day that Van Hollen goes to El Salvador to be AOC, she's like pulling a Maria Conchita Alonso thing. That, how crazy is it that when, it's true, I'm losing my train of thought. Gosh, what was I going to say now? You're laughing so hard. Sorry, it's our Friday. It's Thursday for some of you. Tomorrow's Bad Friday. It's like that. We're gonna continue talking about all of this. We're also gonna get into, like I said, red state rhino hunting. We're going to fisk these goofy arguments that people are trying to make. It's these rhinos in Florida that want to keep spending money on their big ticket items. They're mad because they got vetoed and now they're out for blood. Stick with us. Second hour next. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Did that case, right? You've looked at the evidence. Are you convinced, as the White House says, he's an MS-13 member?
Oh, 1,000%. Yes, indeed. 1,000%.
No doubt.
Not only that, he's and he's a domestic violence abuser. I mean, in our community, we would screen him working with ICE, and hopefully they would decide to take removal proceedings for just that reason. And he's been through removal proceedings before, and they asked for him to be removed, and yet he was still here. So kudos on the Trump administration for removing the criminal. Horrible on Senator Van Hollen for wanting to bring him back.
Okay.
That's the sheriff. But what does he know? He was only involved in it. What is that? I mean, what does he know? Ray Kane, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of the second hour. No cares given. And this has been the top story today. And it's pretty asinine. There's other stuff that we're going to get to as well coming up. Including who's going to be leading the Democrat Party. Nobody knows. They don't have anybody. This is the sheriff of Maryland. He's been involved. He was involved in this investigation. He's been involved in this case. I think he knows a little bit more than like the AOCs. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah.
I think he knows a little bit more. I've never seen a party that wants to commit suicide so badly. Audio sent by 24. CNN. This is CNN, right? CNN is not a right-leaning network. No. CNN is not a moderate network, although I would say that they're probably moderate compared to MSNBC. They're left-leaning. And they can't even deny how the American public feels about deportation. Audio sent by 24, listen.
Deport all undocumented immigrants. Voters favoring the government trying to deport all 11 million of them. Back in 2016, just 38% of voters wanted the government to try to deport all 11 million undocumented immigrants. Compared to where we are in 2025, 56%, the majority, the American people have come a long way on this issue, much closer to Donald Trump. And I think that's a big part of the reason why Americans are increasingly saying the country is on the right track when it comes to immigration policy, and why Donald Trump's net approval rating on that issue is in the positive.
Yeah, that's why. That's exactly why. Democrats, again, are out of step with people all around the nation. And especially with this CECOT, you know, this mega prison thing in El Salvador with this Abrego Garcia being in CECOT. Yeah, people are in supportive of they're supportive of that. And I can't tell you when I looked at the exit polls going back to 2016. Immigration was not only a top issue, but what they'll do is like with exit polling data, and this is, you know, the day that people are voting and they're coming out, et cetera, et cetera. They would ask about immigration. So they would ask about like economy and immigration. Then they would break it up into subsections after that. And deportation was always asked. This is something that has never faltered. It's never not been like this. Americans, Democrats, even too. Now, this is pause for a minute and just lay all tribalism aside. The majority of Democrats want this to happen, too. They support deportations. This is one of the reasons why Trump started picking up some of these blue state voters. Firewall, economy, and immigration. In fact, I went back and I was looking at my notes for this last election in states like Wisconsin, in states like Pennsylvania. I mean, these are like blue states, like some of these states, you know, Michigan, these are blue wall states. Democrats support deportation for illegal immigrants. And the Democrat leaders cannot, I don't know why they can't get on the same page as this. If you want to win elections, you're going to craft your message to that. Democrats always used to do that. And I don't know why this is like the singular thing that they refuse to do. I honestly can't figure it out. You even have Carville, who says things like, yeah, you know, we got to deport the people that, you know, are in here and they're committing crimes. Democrats used to always have that position. But in the past 10 years, and especially the past six, that's changed entirely from the leadership. They are completely sideways with their voters. They will continue to lose voters. And I'm going to tell you what. Yesterday, Chris Van Hollen leaving, going to El Salvador, and then he hadn't even gotten there until I think Pam Bondi, I was trying to remember what time, she dropped the documentation showing the domestic violence arrests and things like that. And there was other stuff. The human trafficking stuff got dropped. And as Chris Van Hollen is trying to get a meeting with the vice president there in El Salvador, you have the White House press availability and you have Rachel Morin's mother up there. We came in with that audio last hour explaining how her daughter was murdered brutally. And that was hard to hear her talk, by the way. God love her. I had to turn the volume down. I can't, when I hear moms and dads talk about their kids, I'm like, it's hard. It's hard to hear. And all this was happening while Chris Van Hollen's in El Salvador. These dummies walked into a trap that was laid for them. It was like it was perfect. I have to say, Trump and Min did a very good job. Whoever orchestrated this, well done. And that's not to be callous. It is a way to try to pierce through this bubble that some of these people live in. You realize that there are consequences to some of these policy decisions, right? I mean, I know you all do, but some of these drive-bys don't. They don't realize that there are actual real life consequences to these policy decisions. Jamil Shaw Sr., gosh, this story guts me. I talked to this good man. He was on our show. I introduced him to the Trump administration and or the Trump campaign back in 2016, and they had him at events. This man, his wife, you got to go look at the Jamil Shaw story. His wife, active duty soldier. She was serving our nation. His wife is active duty soldier. And his son, Jamil Shaw Jr., this is in L.A., star athlete. He's in high school, great student. So he's a kid who loved life. He loved sports. He was a good kid, good young man. And he was walking home from practice. Didn't live that far away. His dad was waiting for him. Imagine your dad, you're getting dinner ready. You know, you're waiting for your boy to come home. And a group of gangbangers who were here illegally and had been, I think two of them had been deported previously and they came back. One of them was known to law enforcement, but remember, California didn't like to honor ICE detainers. They pulled up and he had like a piece of clothing, I guess that was the wrong color that he just had with him. I mean, he was, you know, coming back and it was in the evening. He's coming back home from practice. They started giving him problems and he was trying to get away and they shot and killed him. His dad heard it. That's how close he was to home. He died up the sidewalk. He was almost home. This dad, his wife is serving overseas, comes outside. His son's dying in his arms. That happened. That is the consequence. These progressives never have to pay it. They love pretending to virtue signal as long as you pay for it with your life, as long as your children pay for it with their lives. Spare me your bitching and moaning about this due process that this wife beater got. He got his due process over and over again. Taxpayer-funded due process, I might add. And now you got Chris Van Hollen on a taxpayer-funded Codel going down to El Salvador. For what? I mean, they have real consequences. Real-time consequences. It's incredibly frustrating, and it's heartbreaking. It's incredibly heartbreaking. I want to get into as well, we're going to talk about this Red State Rhino stuff here coming up, and we're going to have my friend John Cardillo on to talk about it. I've known John for a long time. We used to not always get along, but we get along now, and lives in Florida, and he works and all this stuff and sees all this stuff. In fact, we got our new series, Juan. We got our cool new graphic. It's official now. Red State Rhino Hunting, our new series that we're going to be doing a second hour every day. So, we're focusing on rhinos in every red state, with particular emphasis on Texas and Florida, because they're big states, because they have tons of electoral votes, and also because if you lose, particularly Texas, you lose that state, you lose the White House forever. Good luck getting that back. And Florida is only briefly red. It's always been a pretty purple state. And one of the things that we've been hearing a lot about is these attacks. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. We started hearing a lot of attacks on Hope Florida. Now, what is Hope Florida? Hope Florida is a charitable organization that is spearheaded by the Florida First Lady, Casey DeSantis. And it's actually a really genius idea. I wish other states did it. It's like the first of its kind that I know of. And I'm going to talk to John Cardillo about this coming up. But it is a perfect, like, private-public partnership that's all about reducing the size and scope of government to benefit taxpayers, right? And the establishment Republicans feel really threatened. You know, a lot of lawmakers, they talk big about reducing the size of government, and Florida's actually doing it. And so Hope Florida, it represents kind of an existential threat, I think, to the current structure of most of these governments, because it these state governments, it eliminates the redundancy of government stewarding those in need and replaces them with faith-based charitable alternatives to do it faster, to do it better, to do it cheaper, and for a greater purpose. And so instead of growing government, it actually empowers families. It's a brilliant thing. In fact, the way that it's described, FloridaVets.org were one of the first entities to write about it. It's the convener and collaborator between people who need help, good people who need help, and good people outside of government who are willing to help. Government is uniquely positioned to make the connection and thus reduce its role in assisting people in need. Now, and I've talked to the First Lady of Florida about this. I have a piece coming out later today that's going to discuss this, and it'll have the interview embedded if you're a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse at Substack. Since it was created in 2021, and they have what they call navigators, these Hope Navigators. These are private charitable entities or people across the state. And more than 150 of them work with Hope Florida. Hope Florida is just like a program that facilitates these associations, these relationships. Hope Florida has referred over 100,000 Floridians for assistance with Hope Florida. They've established 5,600 partners. And 2,000 of those are faith-based partners that they've worked into the Hope Florida network. The Florida Department of Veterans Affairs joined the initiative. They've helped almost 1,000 veterans and their families. That is amazing. And now there's, you know, you have so many special interests embedded in politics, and special interests, you know, they benefit from having policies that are favorable to them. And now you've got this small group of lawmakers in Florida that are upset by this. Why are they upset by this? They're mad because it's reducing the opportunity to expand special interest involvement and thus kickbacks in the state of Florida under the guise of helping people. And so these people who are on the dole for big weed, who are on the dole for big sugar, you know, and others, they're, you know, suddenly they're concerned about tax dollars. What ended up happening is they tried to say that Hope Florida was dodging accountability by refusing to fill out their 990. They didn't dodge accountability. They actually met about this yesterday. Nothing wrong. They filled out their 990. They've done nothing wrong. I don't know why people are they had two hurricanes, and the state allowed a delay for all of these organizations to fill out their annual paperwork, etc. So people are trying to use that and cite that as like some sort of admission of criminality. And of course, these are the same people that are making these accusations are the same people that also said Casey DeSantis faked her breast cancer. I've got the tweets and all the posts, so nobody needs to deny it. The same people that said she faked her breast cancer are also the same ones that are attacking this charitable organization. They have been incredibly above board with everything. We're going to talk more about this coming up at the bottom of the hour, continuing the red state rhino hunting. We've got headlines on the way as we move our partners that help bring you the program. All Family Pharmacy is a great business that is going to make sure that you are topped up with whatever it is that you need. They've saved me. They come in clutch a number of times, and they have the treatments like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, you know, therapeutics, and the things that the government was trying to prevent you from actually accessing. When the government was out there crushing alternatives, All Family Pharmacy has you covered. They also have your everyday medications, your maintenance medications that you need. Fast shipping, no hassle, no gatekeepers, no insurance, no problem. It's simple and fast and affordable to order from All Family Pharmacy. They have straightforward pricing. Shipping is just in like 2 to 4 days, or overnight in a pinch if you need it. And it's all everything that they have is made in the USA. so you don't have to worry about outsourced stuff coming in from India or China. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off with promo code Dana10. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Researchers say they are one step closer to finding out if life ever existed on Mars. An international team has found compelling evidence of multiple mineral forming events just below the planet's surface. Sulfate minerals exist with different amounts of water in most regions on Mars. And according to Dr. Michael Jones of the Queensland University of Technology in Australia, he says that it allows them to understand how water moved around the planet, which is key to understanding past habitability. And they said they don't really fully understand it, but yeah, pretty sure that means there's life. I'm going to need an alien waving at me and holding a copy of like today's paper with the date and pointing at it.
It's got to be that obvious?
Yeah, it's got to be real obvious. Yeah, that's I need that, you know, in my life. I need that. That's, you know, just to make you feel better. The third official ousted in SecDef Hegseth's Pentagon purge amid the leak scandal. I mean, I didn't realize that there were this many leakers there, but, you know, I'm learning some new stuff every day. Colin Carroll, the chief of staff to the deputy defense secretary, Stephen Feinberg, was suspended, and two other appointees per Politico were shown the door as well. Also, the I don't know why PBS is freaking out about this. Their chief is warning that cutting their federal money is going to devastate local stations. But I thought they said that that was only a small part. Remember when they were trying to defend getting federal money because they said it was just a small part of it? Well, that was a lie. That was an absolute lie. So coming up, John Cardillo, longtime former NYPD, Florida resident, Florida activist. He's going to join us to break down some of this red state rhino stuff in Florida with Hope Florida. Stick with us. If you work long hours and struggle to wind down at night, you're not alone. Tossing and turning and waking up exhausted doesn't have to be the norm. Beam Dream Powder helps you fall asleep faster, sleep soundly through the night, and wake up feeling refreshed. Beam Dream Powder is a clean, healthy nighttime blend made with ingredients backed by science. Reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, apigenin, and melatonin. Apigenin helps calm your body and your mind for rest. L-theanine supports a smooth transition into deep sleep. And Reishi and melatonin work to improve REM sleep quality. Beam is proudly American-made and run by people who value hard work, integrity, and results. Supporting companies like this matters because they're doing things the right way. You'll love how Dream tastes, and it's easy to make and actually effective. Over 17.5 million nights of sleep have been improved with Beam, and yours could be next. Try it for yourself. Visit shopbeam.com/Dana Show and use code Dana Show for 40% off of your first order. That's shopbeam.com/Dana Show. Code Dana Show for better sleep.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of the second hour, and you can listen coast to coast terrestrially. And don't forget the stream, Channel 347, DirecTV, X, Rumble, all that good stuff. So the other day, I got pissed off enough finally to start just dedicating a whole every day. We're going to start talking about these despicable red state rhinos, these horrible abscesses of humanity that are in these red states, taking up space, breathing our air, that are betraying voters under the guise of being Republican. And you're supposed to look the other way because they got an R after their name. And we've dealt with this in Texas. Florida is really going through it. And it makes me mad because that is my backup state, is Florida. Right. So Florida can't fall. Because they also have like really great beaches and great food. Not that Texas beaches aren't. Yeah. Anyway, but they have great people. I got family that live there. I have a lot of friends that live there. And it is such a great story of what this country can be if they're administrated, if the country is administrated like Florida is. Except you got some Republicans in that state that are betraying voters and trying to undermine everything that they voted for. Even the voters who really wanted to just vote for the Trump agenda, you're getting underserved on that because of these rhinos in Florida. Now, this recent kerfluffle has to do with this really great organization called Hope Florida. It is, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the first of its kind in the nation that is a facilitator. It's a public-private partnership where you have the government that is only facilitating contacts and relationships between people in need, whether it be veterans, homeless, whatever, and private charitable entities. And they are saving taxpayers thousands of dollars, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're getting people off of either the streets, out of their areas of concern. They're doing so much. They're making such a great impact. Of course, when you reduce the size of government and empower people and empower charities and families, you're reducing the opportunity for special interests to come in. And then you're also reducing that kickback paycheck for a lot of these Republican in name only folks. And that's the big problem. Joining me now to talk about this, a longtime friend, and he is a Floridian, John Cardillo. You can find him on X, former NYPD. He's also TV radio. Once upon a time, he was in broadcasting. He still kind of is. He joins us now from Florida. John, good to see you.
Hey, Dan, always great to be with you.
So tell me, because you're in Florida. I mean, that's this Hope Florida thing. This is such a great idea. And you would know this. Correct me if I'm wrong on it. I don't think that there's anything like this in the nation.
No, I mean, the only thing you can loosely compare it to from years back was when Scott Walker got a bit proactive with welfare to work in Wisconsin. And I mean loosely, but no, there's nothing like this that truly harnesses the power of government to organize something when you have an administration like the DeSantis's, where they're pretty good at organizing things, but marry it to the power of the private sector that has the money and resources, right? And so it works very well. I believe it saved taxpayers already $100 million.
Wow.
And the 10-year plan shows definitively it'll save billions of dollars, but exactly like you said in the intro, the trial bar, the insurance lobby, big marijuana, they're not making any money from this. And they're really upset that all of the politicians they donated to, who promised them their agendas would pass in Florida, failed. That's all this is about. This is about, there is no scandal, nothing illegal was done. This is about pissed off donors spanking down politicians who failed them, and those politicians being vindictive toward Ron DeSantis, his wife, his attorney general, simply because Team DeSantis won and special interests lost.
Wow. So for the people who are unaware, this whole, the accusation that was levied at Hope Florida was that, oh, they stole $10 million or something to that effect. Oh, they didn't file a 990, which they, it wasn't a criminal offense. They filed the 990. They were, they were a little late, but that wasn't a criminal offense. It wasn't even something that they could render a penalty for. And the way that I understood it, Florida had already delayed a lot of these applications and extended the processes for this. Cause you did have two big hurricanes that rolled through the state. So that's kind of a consideration, but the 10 million, the way that I understand that, there was a lawsuit involving a corporation called Centene. And from that lawsuit, is part of the negotiated settlement, they gave $10 million to the Hope Florida organization for the facilitation of that. There's no evidence of wrongdoing. Everything's been above the board. So I don't get what's their problem. Why are they trying to weaponize that?
It's all politics. No, you nailed it, Dana. Nothing illegal happened. A 501c3 can legally donate to a 501c4. The entity Centene agreed in the settlement. Now, it's so preposterous calling this illegal, because think about that nuanced component for a moment. When you enter into a settlement, part and parcel to a lawsuit, a mediation, an arbitration, the settlement is reviewed by lawyers on both sides, right? Plaintiff and defendant, and then ratified and approved by a judge, a mediator, an arbitrator. Many of those people are former judges and lawyers or current attorneys. This was legalized. What's the word? I'm lawyered. Mm-hmm. This was lawyered up and read over and scrutinized by four or five different entities. Nothing wrong happened here. Nothing illegal happened. This is all petty politics, because I believe people like Alex Andrade, who's a state representative in Florida, for your viewers and listeners who don't know, who's driving this, and I think his statements are now borderline defamatory, if not fully defamatory. He called our attorney general a criminal. That's defamation per se in Florida. You don't even have to prove damages or malice. This is all being driven because these people were beaten by DeSantis and our Attorney General James Utmeyer when he was DeSantis' chief of staff on their amnesty bill for illegal aliens, their weed amendment, and the bill they tried to ram through a couple of weeks ago that would have turned auto body shops. These are Republicans, Dana. They would have required every auto body shop to become an agent of the government and report a fender bender.
What?
So you and I bump into each other in a supermarket parking lot. It's a few a few hundred dollars in damage each. You and I are like, right. Oh, I'll pay for yours. You pay for mine out of pocket. We would have had to have it reported to our insurance company by the body shop if their bill was passed. It only served to benefit the trial bar and the insurance lobby. It is despicable what they're doing.
And we're talking about our friend John Cardillo, who is laying out everything that's happening. Red state rhinos. This is what the rhinos in the state of Florida are trying to do to voters. They're trying to undermine one of the most conservative administrations the state's ever seen, actually the most. And also, it's a chilling effect. Don't do this in other states, Republicans, because this could, those same special interests in Florida, they're in Texas, they're in Oklahoma, they're in Tennessee, Kentucky, Indiana, Missouri, they're everywhere. You mentioned Alex Andrade. He's, correct me if I'm wrong, just to illustrate the character of these people that we're talking about. He's a Republican. He got fired from what I understand, the reports where he got fired from the city of Milton for being city attorney. And didn't he lose a bar fight and he was pictured with a black eye?
Yeah, yeah. And let's go to Milton for a second. Let's talk about why he was fired. Now, I believe Andrade probably wants to run for statewide office, maybe attorney general, which is why he's trying to and failing to beat up our attorney general. But Milton, Florida, really pretty little town up on the Gulf Coast near Pensacola, 11,000 people, small city. He was fired because he was filing, according to the entire city council and pretty much anyone else who had say, filing lawsuits against the mayor because he didn't like her, because they had a personal problem with one another. So he used.
And these are all Republicans.
All Republicans. And he used the power of the office. That's one of the reddest counties in Florida, reddest areas of the state. But he's doing it again. So he was fired as city attorney for filing frivolous lawsuits simply to be vindictive, simply to get back at political enemies or people with whom he disagreed. And he's doing it again, now abusing his office as a state representative. The guy should be booted out of the Florida legislature.
Yeah, he's because what I understand, he's termed out. So he's trying to find, I guess, his next gravy train. So he's so Alex Andrade is termed out after this state rep. Now he's got to find, I don't know, whether he goes and becomes a lawyer for Big Weed or he tries to become AG. I don't know what his, but he just seems, he seems to spend all of his time fighting with voters on social media. But to this point of going after, you know, Hope Florida and the and going after the First Lady the way that they're doing, I'm imagining they're, you know, they're targeting Casey DeSantis because there are rumors that she's considering running for governor, which I honestly have no idea whether or not she is. However, I do think it's kind of savvy, even if they're not considering it, to just let the question linger, because I don't know who else has stepped up besides Byron Donalds. But you got I mean, there got to be more Republicans in Florida that would be also good candidates. This could be a really good primary, which is probably going to be the general for Floridians. And I it feels like they're just trying to, it's like a placeholder to just try to see where everything lands. What is your take on that?
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with you. So you're right. You know, it's a lot like a blue city, right? Like a New York City, a Baltimore, a Los Angeles. Now we have nearly a 1.3, I think it's 1.27 million GOP voter advantage in Florida. So the winner of the Republican primary mathematically is in all probability the winner of the general election for governor. You know, I'm friendly with the governor's team. I speak to them. And as of last week, I still couldn't get a yes or no as to whether or not Casey is going to formally run for governor. So I don't think a decision's been made there. But they're also attacking Utmeyer, the attorney general, James Utmeyer. You know, he's a friend of mine, full disclosure, one of the most honest, ethical guys I've ever met, brilliant attorney. They're attacking him because they want one of their rhinos to run for attorney general as well. And here's why. DeSantis, Utmeyer, the entire team, they're being too proactive. The other bill, you and I commented on it on X, that they want to ram through is a bill to return Florida colleges and universities to leftists. DeSantis has done a phenomenal job of appointing the most conservative executives, and I mean talented executives, to run Florida colleges and universities, and they're doing a great job. They want to take that power from the governor. They want to make it illegal for the governor to discuss with advisors who the next college and university presidents should be in Florida and give that power back to leftist academics. That bill, Dana, is being driven by so-called conservatives in our legislature.
I mean, I am floored at this. I've never seen anyone try to attack from the left and call it the more Republican position. That's And that's exactly what's happening here. Now, there, I feel like there's a lot of people involved in this because you mentioned Alex Andreide. I know, I'm sure that there's special interest involved. With Uthmeyer, how much of this is the Tate brothers? Because I don't really talk about them on the program because I find it gross. But, you know, Uthmeyer, right after he gets into AG, you know, then he made the announcement that they were looking into it. Because wasn't one of the people that was making accusations a Florida resident? Thus, it was kind of incumbent upon him to kind of look into it if he was going to be doing due diligence in his job.
Yeah, but I don't think they had too much to do with this. I like to call Andrew Tate Timo Epstein. But I don't think this to me is more about big weed, the big foreign weed conglomerates. Uthmeyer was instrumental in leading the efforts to defeat Amendment 3. That was the ballot amendment back in November that would have made weed legal throughout the state, but worded in a way that would have really given control of the market to one large company. And that company has poured nine figures into the Florida state political process. Now think about that, right? Your max donation to a state legislator is $1,000. So when you're pouring nine figures into hard money and then their soft money PACs, you become one of the, if not the most influential lobby in the state. And I would say 99% of the attacks on Uthmeyer are being driven by big weed.
Wow. So yeah. I mean, then who really controls the government? Is it special interests or is it voters?
You know, Dana, I've been down here since 2004 and involved politically just as long, had an office in Tallahassee about a year or two after I moved down. And the lobbies in this state have always been very powerful. I won't say names. True story. Firsthand observation. I was standing there. I've watched lobbyists tell members, electeds, state senators and state reps, if you dare walk back into that committee and cast a vote, you'll never see another check from us to a campaign, a PAC. And they would sit, these legislators would step out of committee and not vote.
Wow.
Because the lobby knew, and it was terrible. DeSantis did away with all that. He did away with the big fees. He did away with lobbyist influence. Even when he ran for president, he cut most of these fundraisers were making 30, 40, 50%. So you donated a dollar, what you didn't know was 50, 40, 50 cents was going right back into the fundraisers' pockets. DeSantis capped that on his campaign in the single digits. They cannot handle the fact that we have a true conservative, fiscally responsible governor that wants to return money to taxpayers, not forward that money to these lobbies. And it's driving them insane. And they're becoming unhinged. And you're seeing the end result.
Yeah, this is the end result. John yeah. Cardillo, would love to have you back because I feel like, you know, especially with Texas and Florida, these two states are going to be, these are the yeah. bellwether states for this fight between real conservatives and fake ones. And you do such great work in making everybody aware of this. John Cardillo, find him on X. Always good to see you, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Great to see you.
Of course. All Family Pharmacy is a great business that is going to make sure that you are topped up with whatever it is that you need. They've saved me. They come in clutch a number of times. And they have the treatments like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, you know, therapeutics and the things that the government was trying to prevent you from actually accessing. When the government was out there crushing alternatives, All Family Pharmacy has you covered. They also have your everyday medications, your maintenance medications that you need. Fast shipping, no hassle, no gatekeepers, no insurance, no problem. It's simple and fast and affordable to order from All Family Pharmacy. They have straightforward pricing. Shipping is just in like 2 to 4 days or overnight in a pinch if you need it. It's all everything that they have is made in the USA. So you don't have to worry about outsourced stuff coming in from India or China. Visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 10% off with promo code Dana10. Be prepared. Protect yourself and your family today. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Coupon code Dana10 to save 10%.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
We're going to get to the breaking news coming up at the top of the next hour. In the meantime, a Florida man set his own camper on fire and punched a dog during his arrest.
Oh, boy.
You guys know how I feel about punching dogs, right? Mm-hmm. Shane Brown of Bartow, Florida, doesn't know when to quit. Motor Biscuit says, you know, he could have gotten a simple warning and he would have just had some charges. Now he's, oh, boy. Polk County Sheriff's Office responded to a call Thursday, 4 p.m. This was last week. It was a domestic violence call. They showed up. The camper in which he lives, they found him still trying to beat a woman with what was described as a metal pole, while also yelling that he was going to beat her to death with the metal pole. When police officers approached, he disappeared into the trailer. Then he refused to come out. He escalated the situation. He threw things around in the trailer, including a 5-gallon propane tank. Then he set the whole thing on fire. At that point, they had to get him out because he's going to burn himself. They got him out. And then after he got out, he began punching the canine officer. Oh, man. I'm going to tell you something. Let me calm down for a minute. Punching the canine, the good boy. He's punching the good boy. So, oh, my God. I can't even list all the charges. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's like 9, 10 charges. And he's got a rap sheet, as you can imagine. So he's going into custody. I mean, if you got a bad day, you know, maybe like take a breather. Don't try to burn down your camper and then punch a dog. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that at all. And then lastly, a Florida man going 100 miles per hour in a school zone just about near hit a school bus. Flying down, red pickup truck. Stephen Hamlet, 39. What?
100?
100. As my grandfather would say, 100. H-A-U-N-A-R-D, 100. And he almost hit a bus with kids in it. And they had to chase him down, but they did book him in Collier County Jail. Coming up, we're following this shooting in Florida. We'll come back with that top of the next hour. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile. It's a great, the only conservative cell phone service. If you're not using Patriot Mobile, you're funding your opposition, right? I mean, you're funding the Planned Parenthoods, you're funding gun control, you're funding DEI, you're funding the people who love to push forced genital mutilations on children. You guys, you're funding all of that if you haven't switched. I know that sounds harsh, but it's true. You can go on Facebook and talk a great game against the left, but if you're spending your hard-earned money funding that same thing, does that mean you're consistent? No, it doesn't. It means you're inconsistent. I'm helping you out. You need to switch right now to Patriot Mobile, unless you don't want to save money and be consistent, because Patriot Mobile is going to save you money. They do not spend all this money on the Soros stuff. They take care of you. They have a great U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make sure that they have a plan tailored for you. They're not hazardous in spending like these progressive, cell phone providers are. Patriot Mobile puts momentum behind the issues that you vote to protect. They're all for reducing the size and scope of government and increasing and protecting your liberties. And their record in supporting all of this speaks for itself. Great service. I've never had an issue nationally or internationally with my service. And you can get a free month of service right now with promo code Dana by going to patriotmobile.com or calling 972-PATRIOT. Support what you believe in. Help support American jobs. And remember, you have to vote with your dollars. We live in an environment where your money counts. So act accordingly, consume accordingly, spend accordingly, and switch to Patriot Mobile today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana972Patriot for a free month of service with promo code Dana.
Pastor Alan Jackson encourages Christians to get tough and fight.
The military had been turned into a social experiment. Apparently, they've been looting the coffers in Washington for a long time of hundreds of billions of dollars. Terminating the lives of our children. I mean, we all know the litany of things that are happening. It feels like it's going to take a determination from the people of faith if we're going to see this walked back to the place it needs to be for the sake of our children.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
Everybody, and I've been briefed on these Florida State University, Tallahassee, active shooter. I guess it's an active shooter. Fully briefed as to where we are right now. It's a shame. It's a horrible thing. Horrible that things like this take place. And we'll have more to say about it later. In the meantime, it's an honor to have the Prime Minister of Italy with us.
So POTUS, who is also talking with Prime Minister of Italy, Giorgia Meloni, is in the Oval Office where he addressed this breaking news, which seems to be, I think everything's been contained at this point. Florida State University, a shooting in which there are at least 6 people injured. There are no confirmed fatalities, despite some of the numerous reports and from some conservative media saying that there are fatalities. So far, that has not been reported. It's, you know, in the early moments of this information, it tends to get a little muddy. But there's been reports of injuries, no fatalities. They said one was in critical, but apparently, and Lorraine's been watching this while we were on air, NBC confirms that they have at least one person in custody in connection, and that is per the Tallahassee Police Department. There isn't any other information about that. They had multiple patients hospitalized after the shooting at FSU. The school sent an alert telling people to shelter. Police were on scene really fast. Obviously, FBI is already on scene. And Tallahassee Memorial Healthcare was, quote, receiving and caring for the patients as well. But the injuries, six injured, and it was apparently near the area of the student union there at FSU in Tallahassee. So that is the latest. We don't know any information at all right now about the suspect or any motive, any firearm use, nothing like that at all whatsoever. So we will we'll bring you those updates as we get them. But I definitely don't. We don't want to speculate as well. I just see a lot of bad information out there. As you know, POTUS has remarked about it. The governor of Florida has been briefed. Apparently, they have a press conference that they are going to be as soon as they get the area contained and everybody who needed required medical attention, they receive it. I think they're gonna hold a press conference. They haven't given the ETA on that. And then, of course, the lockdown, I think, is still in effect for FSU campus. So we'll bring you the latest on this stuff, like I said, as we get it. But people have been transported to the hospital. There were six injuries. No fatalities reported yet. And there are some interesting videos that are going around. I don't know if they're confirmed from being from SFU, from FSU. Apparently, there was one video of somebody who was on the ground who may or may not have been a victim, and somebody walking past, just recording everything with a Starbucks coffee in their hand. That was a little weird. So I don't know. We'll bring you confirmed information as we get it, but that's just what has happened. If you're just tuning in, there was a shooting at Florida State University. Apparently, it's the one person's already in custody. The area apparently is the event is over. And one person apparently is in custody, and there are six injuries. I saw one news agency, it was national, not local, so I tend to support it or believe it less, that said that there was one in critical condition. So we'll bring you information as we get it, but that was just at FSU with six injuries in Tallahassee. And when we hear anything about any press conferences or any information about the suspect, we will bring that to you as well. So you know, evil exists. Evil is real. And I don't know about the policies of FSU. I'll look into this on break. But I don't think that it was a Cary campus. So, you know, we'll bring more attention to that as we get that information. Now, another press conference that took place. When was this? Yesterday, Kane? Yesterday evening?
Yes.
So in the case of the track stabbing that happened in Frisco, Texas, of all places. We've been covering this story for quite some time. The family, so Austin Metcalf's father, and Austin Metcalf was the young man who was murdered. He was killed by Carmelo Anthony. And they had a press conference, and the attorney for the family was present. I think that's his mother at the press conference as well. The attorney, Dominique Alexander, they were having this press conference. Apparently, Austin Metcalf's father attended, and they forced him to leave. And the family and the speaker here is Dominique Alexander. They open the press conference like this. Listen.
The father being at this press conference. These are my words. Don't quote anybody. It's a disrespect to the dignity of his son. Next Generation Action Network from the beginning has respected the loss of life. No matter our opinion of it, we have kept our opinion close.
Oh, you're
we
so
have not attacked. We have not shared
you have no
the information that was shared with us about Austin Metcalf. Because
seriously.
We
can't even say his
respect
name, right?
The dignity of life.
Metcalf, really?
The father being at
that's
this
just
press
unbelievable.
Conference. These
unbelievable.
Are my words.
Oh, they're such good people because they're keeping their opinions about their son stabbing another teenager to death private. No one gives a rat's ass about your opinions. Your kid stabbed someone else to death, brought a knife to school after he was previously suspended for repeatedly bringing a knife to school and posing with apparently some of the photos running around. He's posing with guns and all this stuff. Oh, he's such an honor. He's just right after just a little church mouse. And then the family gets up there and acts like, oh, well, we're doing something real nice here because we're keeping our opinions. I'll tell you my opinions. I think that you're trash if your kid's taking a knife to school and you're doing nothing to stop it and he's been suspended after repeatedly taking a knife to school. Don't stand there like your mother of the year and act like you deserve all this, all of the back pats and the hugs and the prayers and the tears. You deserve prayer. You need prayer to be a better mother. You need prayer to be a better parent, because I guarantee you, if one of my kids had been taking a knife to school, I would have beaten his ass so bad that they would have probably had CFS intervene. Unbelievable. Acting like you're the victims. Your kid stabbed somebody to death because he got mad that he was asked to leave a tent. He's a thug. Thugs bring knives to school repeatedly. And y'all are making this a race issue. This wasn't a race issue until after it happened. And then everybody else, in order, the only way that they could probably, the only way they saw that they could defend Carmelo Anthony was trying to make it a race issue. We don't need any more Al Sharpton activities here. We don't need that Al Sharpton mess in Texas. That's unbelievable. Had to have a GoFundMe. Kyle Rittenhouse couldn't have a GoFundMe, but Carmelo Anthony can, because it's different. This is where racial privilege comes into play. Racial privilege had nothing to do. I don't think it was a race issue. I don't think it was a race issue, him stabbing this other young man to death. I don't believe it was a racial issue. I think he was an undisciplined young man who chose to act like a thug and irrevocably wreck his life. But I think everybody after, oh, hell yes, indisputably. Indisputably, they're making it a race issue. I mean, he gets to walk. I've never even seen anybody who gets to, you're up on a murder charge and you just get to walk? I don't know. It's weird to me. And then him, and I got to tell you, Austin Metcalf's dad, he didn't make a scene or anything there, Kane. Nope. From what I was looking on social, he didn't make a scene. Nope. He just showed up. Why couldn't he show up? He's allowed to show up at the press conference of the family whose kid killed his. He's allowed to pretty much do anything he wants, in my opinion. And he has been, you want to talk about somebody who had a right to share opinions and who didn't? Austin Metcalf's dad had already said that he forgave Carmelo Anthony. Now, I told you this the other day. That is a faith that is mature. I am not as mature as that man is in my faith. I will freely admit it. That man's a walking lesson this Holy Week. A walking lesson. He is not combative. He has been nothing but grace personified. It's supernatural. I'm going to be honest with you. It is a grace that is supernatural. His words that he has said after this have been soothing, calming, to the point where other people, on the right even, have gone after him and questioned whether or not he actually loved his son, because unlike him, they would have been out there raising hell. Now, I get it. People are upset. They want justice for Austin Metcalf. The dad, I think, like I said, it is a faith that is mature beyond what mine is. But I think that you should still draw example from it. So for these people to act like they're the ones restraining themselves, sit the hell down. You don't know restraint until you look into the eyes of Mr. Metcalf, a man whose son held his twin brother as he bled to death after he was stabbed by your thug kid. Now, see, and Kane makes a great point. They can't have Austin Metcalf's dad there. Why? Because they want to be the victims. They can't have Austin Metcalf's dad there because that is actually a victim. No. They can't be the victims. If the real victim is sharing the press conference with them, they want a monopoly on the victimhood. They want to be able to say justice for Carmelo Anthony when justice, I don't know. I think the kid should be dragged personally. I think their book throw at him, whatever euphemism you want to lock him up, throw him behind bars. He's a danger to society. He's a menace, bringing a knife to school repeatedly. And then you provoke, according to all the other witnesses, he provoked the other people in that tent, said, try me, gesture toward his back. He wanted to use that knife, in my opinion. He wanted to use that knife. He was looking for a fight. He was the antagonist. He's not the victim. The justice for him is death penalty, I think. But he's ineligible because he's 17. His age has saved him by a year. No, they couldn't have his dad there because his dad's the real victim. That twin. I want that. Who's this idiot? Can't even say Metcalf. I mean, for crying out loud, take the rocks out of your mouth and then talk again. Why don't you look into the eyes of Austin Metcalf's twin brother, who had to watch the life force leave his twin? He shared a womb with him. Watched him bleed out, turn pale, grow cold, stop breathing, eyes glazed open. And you tell him that you're really the victim. Gold prices have surged over 40% since January 2024, consistently reaching new highs. According to Goldman Sachs research, the upward trend is expected to persist due to strong demand from central banks. It's stuff like this that's made me take action and why I've bought precious metals like gold and silver. I've partnered with a great company that makes it super easy to buy. Easy, transparent, and simple. And that company is Gold Co. They're a huge supporter of this show, and they're the best at what they do. And right now, you can get a free 2025 gold and silver kit jam-packed with critical information about buying precious metals. It was a huge help, not just for me, but to all of you if you do this. And for my audience, you could also qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. It's a really great deal, so don't miss out. Visit DanaLikesGold.com to learn more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I got to say, whenever I hear Steelers Wheel, we just played Steelers Wheel, Stuck in the Middle with you during for Bumper, I always think of Reservoir Dogs, which is one of the best movies ever. And Quentin Tarantino is a genius, one of the best filmmakers to ever be in ever. Gosh, it was such a great scene. I love that song, man. I love it. All right. Sleep training isn't for babies. Some schools are teaching teens how to sleep. Are you serious? Why is everything so dumb? Sleep training for teens? That's asinine. They're teens. Just stop. A course, it's literally a course that they offer at Mansfield Senior High School. How to get to sleep. I don't know. They have sleep training. They said you'd be shocked. Many just don't know how to sleep.
I never had problems sleeping when I was that age.
I think people just created a solution for a problem that didn't exist so they could administrate it and say, like, we're helping. I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what they're thinking of. But that's dumb. They don't need help to sleep. Let's see. United Airlines flight saw an engine fire after takeoff because I swear I saw this in a movie. I saw this in Monty Python, I'm pretty sure. Because they said of a rabbit strike. A rabbit strike? Mid-air. Okay, my whole thing froze, so mid-air. I don't. In midair. Yeah. Like they had a rabbit in the engine in midair?
Yeah. At the end of the story, it says, yeah, they also have a bunch of birds that somehow go through. So it's not like they're calling birds rabbits. It was an actual rabbit.
That got into the engine?
Yes.
I would read the story, but Safari decided to freeze on me because it's a horrible browser and everybody should be jailed. That's a Monty Python scene. Like when they went and it was the killer rabbit that didn't even hop. It just like flew like a laser at people. Yeah. Run away. All right. Coming up, Luis Valdez, who is actually a lobbyist in Florida for Gun Owners of America. He joins us next. Stick with us. Your body is a powerhouse. It heals, it builds, it keeps you moving. But as you age, those natural processes slow down. And that's where Ancient Nutrition's collagen comes in. It's like backup power for your body. It helps you stay strong, radiant, and ready for anything. Ancient Nutrition blends ancient wisdom with modern science to create high quality supplements. And their multi-collagen Advanced Lean features 10 types of collagen from real food-based sources. It's powered by clinically studied ingredients that support fat loss, healthy weight management, and lean muscle building. You'll love it because it can reduce your joint discomfort, boost your skin, your hair, and nails, and plus, you'll love how it tastes and how easily it fits into your daily routine. Collagen is real and it works, and Ancient Nutrition's Multi-Collagen Advanced Lean has you covered. Look and feel your best starting today. Right now, Ancient Nutrition is offering you 25% off your first order. Just visit ancientnutrition.com/Dana, promo code Dana. That's ancientnutrition.com/Dana, code Dana for 25% off your first order.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of this third hour, and we're following this story coming out of FSU, Florida State University, just to give you the latest update. And as you guys know, how we handle this stuff on the program, I'm not going to run with anything that's speculative. It's just what's been confirmed. We don't know anything about the suspect. We don't even really have a confirmation about fatalities, because I've got local media and national media all disagreeing with each other about any fatalities and even the injuries. So we're going to wait a little bit. There are injuries, because one of the hospitals did say to local news that they were accepting some people injured, but we don't have any confirmation on fatalities or anything like that. One person is in custody that has been confirmed, but that's all we know of at this point. This happened just a little bit ago at FSU in Tallahassee. So we're keeping our eye on that. We'll only bring you that which has been confirmed. Joining me now, and we had him scheduled already to come on the program to talk about some of the stuff that's been happening, our good friend Luis Valdez. You can find him on X at Real Florida Gun Lobby. He's the Florida State Director for Gun Owners of America. And there's a lot of stuff that's been happening in the Florida legislature with firearms bills that are going forward. He joins us now, on video. We got him. Luis, it's good to see you. I'm so sorry about this news today, because I know that you worked in law enforcement. You were a school resource officer. I know you lived in Tallahassee. You worked at FSU, or your wife worked at FSU. You're very familiar with the campus and the community. So I'm so sorry to hear about this horrible news today.
Yeah, it's tragic to hear that this has happened once again at FSU. And, you know, we hold FSU as part of our family. We lived in Tallahassee for over 10 years, and we know a lot of people there, a lot of staff, a lot of professors, a lot of administrators. So we're praying that they're all safe and sound. You know, of course, our prayers are with the victims, of course, and all of this. But as I said, this has happened before. There was already a shooting back at the Strozier Library in 2013, where one of the victims back then was a concealed carry permit holder, and under state law, he was disarmed, since FSU is a gun-free zone. And what he get for it, he got shot. And once again, we're seeing the end results of gun control. Gun-free zones don't work. In the 2010s, after the Strozier Library shooting, I myself spoke before the legislature multiple times pushing for campus carry. And I say this as a father. I want my daughter to be able to protect herself on campus. You know, going back as a former school resource officer, when seconds count, cops are still minutes to an hour away. And I commend FSUPD for responding as quickly as they could, but still, they were seconds to minutes away to stop this guy. And if students and staff were able to be armed, were able to carry, they would have been able to defend themselves. And so far, there appears to be footage coming out where the suspected shooter is just standing in the courtyard, nonchalantly shooting at people, and people are ducking for cover. If people were armed and able to defend themselves, I don't think this would have happened.
And this is something that horrifically we see in so many of these stories. It's a gun-free zone, or if it's, you know, if it's a elementary, junior high, high school, you know, those have been gun-free zones for over 30 years now. And you know, when you create an environment like this, there's never, and you know, as a school resource officer, you aren't magic. You can't be at every single building on campus. You can't be in the quad and then in the cafeteria. You can't be in the library and in the you can't be everywhere at the same time. And and school resource officers, you know, they're great. There are amazing stories where they've been able to get in and actually save lives. But they just can't be everywhere. And if they can't be everywhere, as you were alluding to, then why not have, you know, legal adults who are lawful, innocent people be able to carry and defend themselves?
Exactly. You know, the title is first responder. We respond to the incident. We don't prevent the incident. And that is the biggest hypocrisy with gun control advocates, both on the right and the left, pushing for disarming the law-abiding public. They think that if you make an area a gun-free zone and you pass ridiculous laws like what happened after Parkland, that criminals will stop being criminals. Well, here's the honest fact. Murder has been illegal since the age of Hammurabi, when he carved it into a stone tablet. And this hasn't stopped anyone from being a murderer, a rapist, a burglar, a child predator, any of that. Criminals are criminals because they break the law. And all these laws do is they harm the law-abiding citizen. And worse, though, especially in Florida's case, we have a Republican supermajority that for over a decade now has blocked solid pro-gun legislation. Campus carry, open carry, the repealing of red flag laws, the repealing of the under 21 purchase ban. Because again, going back to just what happened at FSU, we don't know the age of the shooter, but the average age of your college student is usually between 18 to 22, which means three quarters of them are basically under the age of 21. So they have been disarmed legally from carrying on campus. And even if they live off campus, from being able to purchase a firearm to defend themselves. And look, you know Tallahassee. I know Tallahassee. Tallahassee has a lot of shady parts of town. And worse, though, half of Tallahassee is basically FSU campus. Between FSU, FAMU, and TCC, half the city is a college campus, which means half the city is a gun-free zone, and criminals don't care. They ply their trade, and they go after the law-abiding innocent public.
We're talking with our friend Luis Valdez, who's the Florida State Director for Gun Owners of America. And I know that there's been some movement, because I know that there's been some bills introduced in the Florida State Legislature for campus carry prior. I think it was a Republican. I think it was he was on our show. We didn't exactly get along. Randy Fine, from what I understand, had introduced a bill. But from, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, from my memory, it was a kind of underwhelming bill. Tell me about that.
So he claimed the bill was campus carry, but there was a lot of carve outs in it that let the universities basically send a report to FDLE to say, well, this area of campus and that area of campus is a special area and we need to make it a gun free zone because that's what our university police or our security department is claiming. So there was a lot of carve outs for basically saying, yeah, hey, Florida is now going to be campus carry, but all the universities could opt out of it. And that's basically what was going to happen. But the worst thing is former Representative Rudman, who just resigned this year from office, he introduced a solid piece of legislation that would have given us campus carry, repealed red flag laws, and given us open carry. And one of the reasons why he left the state legislature is because when he got sworn in again back in November, legislative leadership basically said, look, we're not going to advance anything pro-gun. We're going to squash everything, and we're going to fight the governor tooth and nail. Now, the governor, he has been a champion for open carry. He has been a champion for red flag repeal, for campus carry, for the repeal of the entirety of all the Parkland gun control. And Republican legislative leadership has said that they were going to fight him. You know, that is a dishonest disservice to the constituency and the voters across Florida, because they voted for these lawmakers to advance what the governor has proposed. Yeah. Because remember, the governor is the measure, is the barometer to measure things by. He won the state in record numbers that no other Republican has ever won, which means Floridians from Pensacola to Key West and everywhere in between support his proposals. They support open carry, campus carry, red flag repeal, under 21 purchase ban repeal, property tax reform, fiscal conservatism. They didn't vote for law for Republican lawmakers who campaigned being pro-gun to block pro-gun legislation, to block fiscal conservatism, to block property tax reform. They didn't vote for any of that. They voted for what the governor has proposed. And this is a serious issue. But the only good thing coming out of this Republican Civil War is Florida voters are now getting to see what people like you and I, Florida's gun owners, have experienced for over a decade with a rhino supermajority. Because it's not a supermajority. It's a supermajority in name only. And what a lot of it comes down to is you have a lot of Republicans who are basically Democrats that all they did was they swapped their jerseys to Team R to run.
That's a great point. That is a great point. And I love what you just said, too. It's a supermajority in name only, because they're definitely not governing like that. We're talking with our friend Luis Valdez, who's the Florida State Director for Gun Owners of America. I know that there was a push to, I know that there's a number of things in committees right now that they're trying to get to the floor, whether it's to repeal the red flag law, whether it's to allow campus carry. I mean, what all has to be done in order for that to happen? I mean, how many people have got to be primaried in order for this stuff to actually go through so that people can protect themselves, including on college campuses?
The biggest issue, politically speaking, in Florida is that it's a legislative dictatorship. The way our legislative leaders are picked is literally the freshman class, when they're sworn in, they pick who's going to be their leader in 4 years. So already the Senate president and House speaker for the 2027 to for the next two legislative cycles have already been picked. So freshman lawmakers coming in, they don't even have a say in this. It's not like how it is in Congress, where, you know, when a new session is determined, right, they're going to be a vote. No, this is already done years in advance by the political establishment, the political machine. And what happens is they pick their cronies and put them in key leadership slots under them. And basically they go to every lawmaker and say, oh, you want to get this done? Well, you have to push this, this, and this for me. And if not, I'm going to block everything you want. I'm going to kill all your bills. I'm going to strip you of your committee seats, and I'm going to send you to the basement. And we've already seen that now with two lawmakers, former State Representative Anthony Sabatini and now Tony Caruso. Caruso, currently in office, he's one of the only state representatives to stand up to Daniel Perez's actions as House Speaker. And he's basically been ostracized and punished for siding with the governor on gun rights and fiscal conservatism. It's appalling of what's happening. So in terms of primarying, it's not really primarying just some key members. It's pushing rank and file legislative lawmakers to stand up to legislative leadership and say, no, I represent my constituency. I don't represent you.
Ooh. You said that there has been also some good news. The Florida House, you tweeted, the Florida House repealed the tyrannical ban on gun and ammo sales during states of emergency. I actually was shocked that this was a piece of legislation that had to be passed in order to do that. Tell me about this. I did not know that this wasn't already a thing in Florida.
Yeah, so 870.044 Florida state statutes basically says during a declared state of emergency that the sale of firearms and ammunition can be banned. Now, as we saw with this past hurricane season, the city of Okeechobee, they passed an ordinance banning that. Within 12 hours, they rescinded it. And look, I've been in Okeechobee. I went to the city of Okeechobee after this happened. They apologized. They said that that was never their intention, that they've literally been using the same template for the last 25 odd years for their emergency declarations for every hurricane. They didn't really review it. So they, you know, there was no malicious intent on their part. But as we saw during the pandemic, you had a number of municipalities in South Florida, and three that stand out is Riviera. It's either Riviera Beach, West Palm Beach, and the town of Palm Beach. They use the statewide declared state of emergency during the pandemic to prevent gun shops from selling guns and ammunition during that time period. And remember, this was also during the Summer of Love. You had riots all across the country. You had protests. You had Americans and Floridians being laid off from their work. They were worried about their homes being burglarized, their businesses being targeted. And you had municipalities in Palm Beach, one of the bluest anti-gun counties in the state, go and say, no, you can't purchase a firearm. You can't sell a gun. You can't buy ammunition. You can't sell ammunition. And they abused that statute to the full extent that they could, because, you know, as the saying goes, never let a crisis go to waste. So Representative Monique Miller out of Brevard County, she introduced this bill along with State Senator Blazin Goglia. Both two solid folks. We pushed for this bill tooth and nail. It passed the House. Senate Bill 952, Blaze's companion to this bill. It's scheduled for the floor in the Senate, and hopefully it will still be heard. But the challenge here is Senate President Ben Albritton. He's pretty squishy. He's been against open carry. He's been against repealing red flag laws. And he's also been against repealing the under 21 purchase ban. We got that through the state house. That was this session. Representative Michelle Salzman introduced it. We fought tooth and nail for it, and of course, it's passed the House the past two previous legislative cycles, but it's died in the Senate under Republican leadership.
This is why not having an R after your name is not enough. It's what type of R are you? Luis Valdez, you are such a fighter in Florida, and Gun Owners of America does such great. They've been helping a lot out in Texas, too, because got the same issue here. We have some pretty wild Republicans that think, oh, let's just propose some gun control stuff. We'll get it out of committee. Maybe nobody will notice. Nope. People always notice. You do such great work, and we appreciate you making everybody aware of this, bringing it to our attention. We got to have you back, and we'll follow all of this. Luis, thank you so much for what you do, my friend. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I wish I was on the show to discuss better news than what's going on today.
I know. We're praying for everybody in Tallahassee and everybody at FSU. Our hearts go out to them. Luis Valdez, God bless. Thank you so much. What does living better mean to you? Is it more money, a bigger house? Now think about this. What about how you feel physically every day? Life is so much better when you feel good. When you wake up feeling great, you can do more of the things that you love and you're ready to take on the day. If pain is affecting your life, see how Relief Factor can help change that. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor supports your body's response to inflammation. And it doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it, and it's safe to take daily. In fact, the longer you take Relief Factor, the more effective it is. Over 1 million people have turned to Relief Factor. Feel better every day, and you'll live better every day. Trying Relief Factor is easy. Get their 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF, or visit relieffactor.com.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
One of the other things that we also saw was something Tulsi Gabbard had tweeted out, that they had declassified documentation about the Biden administration's strategic implementation plan for countering domestic terrorism, which included eliminating two-way defense. We'll talk more about that next week. Today's Stupidity Cane.
It is cut 19. Jasmine Crockett, for whatever reason, she's still out there talking. I don't know why she's still out there talking, but this is what she said. Listen to this.
This is coming from someone who clearly reads on a first grade level, so I don't know why she's trying to clown Sarah, who obviously is a constituent of hers. And what's really sad is this is the woman that oversees the subcommittee on DOE.
She's talking about Marjorie
like
Taylor Greene.
She's like a thinner lash. It's like she can't even blink. It's just bothering
when she blinks, you feel the wind.
I'm telling you. All right. So that does it for us this week. We're praying for everybody in Tallahassee, FSU. And of course, he has risen. Happy Easter, everyone. Tomorrow's Bad Friday. I'm not going to be on air tomorrow, but I will be back on air with you on Monday. The battle's been won. Have a glorious and blessed Easter weekend. Back with you on Monday.